Second Timothy chapter 4. You know, when Steve and Danny were getting ready to leave, the last night they were here, I got up and I read a verse from this chapter. And I read verse 7, or rather verse 6. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Well, you know, Steve right away, he jumped up like usual and said, "No, brother, get another text. You know, get something else." And of course, this is talking about the Apostle Paul getting ready to get his head chopped off. And so Steve right away, you know, he got worried. He said, "Well, where's Brother Trini going to come from?" But anyway, the emphasis, or the what I spoke about, was the departure. And I mentioned how this verse had touched me a long time ago when I found out that what this meant was that Paul was about to be killed. When I saw that, it really touched my heart. And I was saying to the congregation that departures are very sad. And Steve and Danny were about to depart, and I was very sad about that. But anyway, this is the verse that I brought, and this is what I'm going to preach on today.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just know, Father, that our departure is truly at hand. And Lord, we pray that we would be ready to be offered like Paul, Lord, whenever it comes. Lord, we know that the rapture or something else will happen soon. We know, Father, that we're in the last days. We just pray, Lord, that You would use us this night, be with every speaker tonight to speak to our hearts. We pray that You would be glorified and honored. Lord, that You would draw us to Thyself, that You would revive us. Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray that You would be honored tonight. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And this is the last chapter that he wrote about. In this chapter, there's no more time to give you any more instructions. He's about ready to die. So after writing half of the New Testament, there is no more time to give you any more instructions, any more guidance, any more wisdom. Everything is going to have to be brought down to a boil. It's going to have to come down to a nutshell and give you the best shot he can.
Amen.
And you know, right here, the Apostle Paul is talking about a departure. And yet, he doesn't really give you the impression that he's about ready to die. He talks about his departure like if it was just a change of address. All he's going to do is just move on to another country.
Amen.
Or move on to another address.
Amen.
And, you know, the reason is that the Apostle Paul, everything he wrote was inspired of God. And he believed what he wrote. He knew that it was of God, and he had already told us that to be present with the Lord was better than to be here.
Amen.
He had told us in the Bible that to die was gain, and he believed it. So for him to die was no big thing. For him to die was everything but gain. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that he's about ready to leave, but he's very calm about it. He's very he's not excited about it. And you know, I think, brothers, that the reason that we don't think like Paul is because we don't live the life he lived. He was living a life of persecution. He had been suffering. And when you suffer, you always want the Lord to come quickly. Every time problems come our ways, we always say, "Oh Lord, come quickly." You know, when we're preaching and we begin to get somebody begins to want to attack us or whatever the case might be, and we've gone through some of that, then we begin to say, "Oh Lord, come quickly." And you know, that's why these brothers who were out there and doing the work and being persecuted, they were always ready to say, "I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to go." But that's not the way the church is right now. That's not the way we are right now. We're having such a good time playing Pictionary and checkers and going out to the Frio River and swimming and barbecuing. And I know it hurts you, but we all do it. we're all doing it. And that's why we would not say what Paul says. As a matter of fact, if I had to write this last letter, I wouldn't have written it. If it had been me, I probably would have wasted instead and written to my wife. Yeah. I probably would have told her, honey, make me a big tortilla and put my 9mm in the middle and then cover it with a lot of beans so they won't see what you're bringing me. Because I would have tried everything to get out of here. Knowing what's out there in the world and all the fun that we're having, I wouldn't have wanted to depart. And you know, brother, even if my gun wouldn't work, you can still gas him. But the thing is, you need to try all you can. Nevertheless, you know what I see in the scriptures and in this life, I always find that after a person has gone through a lot of training, he's gone through a period of training, a growing up phase, a time of learning, you can always bring all that learning and put it in a nutshell in just a few words. And I see it in the scriptures, and I see it in our lives. And I see it here. Paul is getting ready to depart. There's no more time to give you any more instructions. And I see this chapter is bringing everything to a head. He's going to give you all the best counsel he can in the last few words. Now, I'm going to speak about that in a few minutes. But first of all, let me just give you some examples that I find in the Bible. You know that King David, he was a great warrior, a great king. He was a great man of God. He was a great father, even though he failed, like all of us. But nevertheless, when he's about ready to die, he's got his son Solomon right there. There's no more time to instruct his son anymore. He tells him, my son, I'm about ready to go the way of the earth. But this is his instructions. He says, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. He's telling them, show yourself a man.
Amen.
And keep what God has given you. Keep his statutes, his testimonies, his commandments. You know, everything was given to him right there. After all the instructions that he had given him, all this teaching him all along, now he gives it to him in a nutshell. Now, Solomon was very wise. He also wrote several books in the Bible. And I find in the book of Ecclesiastes, that was written by Solomon, he gives you tremendous lessons for this life. And then at the end of Ecclesiastes, you find him bringing everything again to a conclusion, giving to you everything in just a few words. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Everything that he has told you, now he puts it down in just a few words. Now, the Lord Jesus has something similar. The whole Bible is inspired of God. And at that time when the Lord was walking on this earth, he had already given us 39 books of the Bible, the Old Testament. And yet, when he was walking around here, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second one was, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, on these two commandments hang everything. And you know, I see it in my life also, in what I've experienced. I went through the police academy 20 years ago. They taught me the code of criminal procedures, the penal codes, police tactics, how to do everything that I would encounter out in the street. But yet, when we go and get for the graduation, the last thing they give you, the whole training in just a few words, they tell you stay alert. Because after you've been trained to do all these things, if you don't stay alert, you're going to be killed. Many times I could have been killed. I could tell you the stories of the time that I could have been killed if I hadn't been alert. Nevertheless, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, I see it as the conclusion of the whole matter also.
Amen.
Let me read to you verse 1, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, in his kingdom. Preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, the word charge is very familiar with me. Ever since I became a cop, you begin to go and make calls, disturbances, and of all different kinds. And you go to a place I'll take for example, you go to a house, and the lady tells me, well, officer, my husband just punched me in the mouth. And I would have to say, well, I didn't see it, and it's just a misdemeanor. So what you have to do is go and file charges on him. And it begins to be that just about everywhere we go, we're always telling people, file charges on him, because we don't see the offense. Now, if it's a continuing offense, like, for example, drunkenness, he was drunk 10 minutes ago, when we get there, he's still drunk, no problem. But if an offense had occurred before we got there, and it's a misdemeanor, all we can say is, go file charges. You go to a house and they tell you, well, officer, he told me I was ugly. Go file charges, you know? The thing is, we really don't have any comprehension of what it means. Not until I became a detective. Then I had to file charges on these people. Then I was having to investigate the cases, take them to the district attorney. They would be approved, and then they would go before the judge. And what I see here, the Apostle Paul is telling us the same thing. He says, I charge thee before God. You know, brother, we've been charged.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul has charged you. And he didn't go to any judge that can be bought with money. He has gone before Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, the Bible says. We've been charged to go and do something. We've been charged to go and preach. But you know, when you're charged with an offense, and you go to court, they give you three options. They always tell you, you can plead guilty, you can plead not guilty, or you can plead nolo contendere. Nolo contendere means no contest. It's the same thing as guilty, but it just makes the person feel good, because all he's saying is, I don't want to contest it, you see. And then you can go later on and say, well, I wasn't guilty, but I pled no contest. I didn't want to fight it. Of course, most Mexicans, they plead nolo contendere. They think it means nolo comprendo, and it only means nolo contendo. But let me tell you, the Lord Jesus is telling us here that Paul has charged you to go and preach. He has told you that you've been charged before God to preach the word.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother, we've been told to preach the word, amen, not our fancies.
That's right. Amen.
We've been charged to preach the word, not our notions.
Amen.
Not our own ideas, not philosophy, not what the world is preaching right now, but we're told to go and preach the word.
Amen.
You know, I'm afraid that when we go before the Lord, many people will be found guilty of not preaching the word. Many Christians. Many of them will probably say, no contest, Lord. But you know, there's another thing that I left out. If you don't go and answer to these charges, then they charge you with contempt of court because you didn't even show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that many Christians will be charged with contempt of court.
Yes.
They're being told to preach, but they don't go. They don't even want to answer the call. Brother, we've been charged to go, but this charge also has an earnestness about it. The Apostle Paul is telling us in verse 2, to be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. In other words, in season and out of season, that means you preach it always. There's never no stop. We always stay preaching. Brother, and the preaching should consist of what the Apostle Paul tells us here. He says, reproof and rebuke. And you know, Brent and Billy have been making it quite clear to us,
amen,
in this conference what we should preach. They brought a lot of scriptures. And the Apostle Paul does not contradict them. He's telling us the same thing. He says, preach the word,
amen,
preach it always, and preach reproof and rebuke. Now, what that means is to go and tell them that they are in error, that they are in their own wicked ways.
Amen.
They need to be brought to repentance.
Amen.
That's what Paul is telling us. Reproof and rebuke. But of course, it doesn't end there. He also tells us, exhort. with all long suffering and doctrine. And of course, I take it as to the Christians. We need to continue to always exhort, always tell you to keep on going, hang on to the end, and of course, do it with doctrine, with the Word of God. But you know, the reason for all of this is very important. And we find it in the next verse, on verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." You know, the reason that the Apostle Paul is telling us to do this is because the time is coming. And brother, I really feel that the time's already here. I see it everywhere. The testimony of our missionaries that are out there preaching in the street, they'll tell you the same thing. People just don't want to hear. They'll go by and they'll keep on walking. They don't want to stop and listen. And you know, I read the testimonies of the old-time preachers of Spurgeon's and Whitfield and all these brothers. And I've read many sermons and many stories about how they used to preach. People used to come from all around. They used to have 30 and 40,000 people come to their meetings. And many would get saved. The whole towns would be converted. And now nobody listens. Let me just give you an experience that I just had recently. I went with Brother Omar. We had a lady, charismatic lady, that wanted to argue and give her case on television about the Catholic Church. Brother Omar asked me, "Brother, will you debate her?" I said, "Sure." I made up the questions, and of course, I also had the answers. But nevertheless, for 1 hour, we debated on television. She had 3 minutes to answer, and I had 3 minutes to answer. She would get up first and answer the question, and the questions were all having to do with the Catholic Church. I made them all to expose the Catholic Church for what it really is. She had a book in front of her that said, "Catholic, defend your faith." In the whole hour that she was there, she might have mentioned just maybe 3 verses at the most. I'd get up and I would preach the word and I'd go verse by verse by verse, nothing but Bible. The whole hour was nothing but Bible that I gave. The whole time, every time that I got up to preach. But you know, after it was all over and it was all said and done, one man was there. And he was shaking his fist at us. And I said, "How can this be?" This man just saw how they were demolished. They have nothing to stand on. And yet, he won't listen. And I think of this verse, "They will not endure sound doctrine." He goes on to say, "They shall turn their ears from the truth." Brother, I see it already here. That's why I can see the Apostle Paul telling us, preach the word, rebuke, and reproof. We need to do it. But you know, I come to verse 7, and he says, "I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You know, this is beautiful when you see a Christian that has gone through this life and died and never wavered, stayed all the way truthful. I don't know too many. In my own family, nobody saved. My wife's family, nobody saved. Only my family and those that I know around here. I remember Cindy, but that's about the only thing that the only person that comes to my mind. She was faithful all the way to the end. She could have said this: "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." The only thing I can say right now for this, I can say I have finished my course here in San Antonio. I can say I went through kindergarten, going through the nursing homes, trying to learn how to witness. Trying to read my Bible, I would consider that my kindergarten stages. I would consider going through the doors of San Antonio, going through door to door as me and many other brothers that I took along with me in many streets here in San Antonio, the west side, south side, southeast, all over San Antonio. We took many neighborhoods. I would say that was my elementary years. And then I would say my high school years would be the courts. Going out and preaching in the streets and witnessing to people. I can say, brothers, I finished my course. But now it's time for me to go. The only thing I can give you now, brothers, is to continue in your ministries.
Amen.
Don't let this ministries die. Continue, for those of you that are still in the courts, continue to go. Continue to preach. Continue to preach according to what the Bible tells us.
Amen.
The Lord is coming soon, and our departure is truly at hand, brother.
Amen. Amen.